Moses and the 40-40-40 plan. Look in Exodus, the third chapter, or actually the second chapter. What we're trying to make application of tonight are two things. First of all, God's time is not the same thing as our time or man's time. There's a huge difference. The microwave oven and Burger King have ruined us. And I've said it many times before, I will continue to say it. Burger King ruined us because they convinced us we could have it their way, or our way. The microwave oven has ruined us because things that used to take 10 minutes now take 10 seconds, and we're convinced that that should apply to everything in the world. Young people get out of college, they take a job, they're not made president within the first month, they get mad, they go to another job. I mean, we feel that everything has to be done right now, our time. And that's not the same thing as God's time. Second is, there's no retirement age for a Christian. There is no early retirement, and there is no earthly retirement plan for a Christian. And we'll use Moses' life to illustrate both of those points. Moses was how old? Do you remember when he died? 120. His life is going to be broken down in this class tonight, and we're just doing an overview. We're not going into great detail on any particular section. But we're going to break it down into three 40-year segments. And if you looked in the book of Exodus, and if you want to look real quick just for yourself, how many chapters are there in that book? There's 40. I should know, if I ask a number question, Chuck knows the answer. I know that. We've got the scriptural number of chapters that are in the book of Exodus, that is 40. 35 and a half of those chapters deal with Moses from the time he was how old, Chuck? What? Oh, Chuck. 35 and a half of those chapters deal with Moses from the age of 80 to 120. All that information that we've got, all those things we see about wandering in the wilderness, all the plagues and the burning bush and on and on and on, he was 80. Now, I'm not 80 yet. And I don't want anybody who is 80 to think that I think that 80 is old. Okay? But most of us, and those people that I'm closest to that are at least 80, no names, mother, feel like they're pretty tired. They put in a full day's work. You know, they're ready to relax a little bit. And I don't blame them. I think I would be too. But Moses didn't relax at age 80. Moses kept going. And those 35 and a half chapters we have most of the information about represent the last third of his life, not the first two-thirds. As a matter of fact, if we look in Exodus, about the only thing we see in the second chapter that we know about the first 40 years is what it says about him being put in the basket, being found by Pharaoh's daughter, by Moses' sister going and get Moses' mom to nurse him. And then the scripture says, at some point, Moses was turned over to Pharaoh's daughter to be brought up. Now, if we look in the seventh chapter of Acts, we get a little bit more information about it. Go to the seventh chapter in about the 23rd, I think 22nd or 23rd verse. I'm going to read some of that. I'm going to start in verse 20. At this time, Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God. Now, this is Stephen talking, by the way. At this time, Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. What do you think Moses learned in those first 40 years? What school was Moses going to in those first 40 years? He was going to Egyptian school. What did the Egyptians do well during this particular period of time? Name a few things. You know what they are. Medicine was one of them, wasn't it? Architecture. I mean, they knew how to mummify people. They built great pyramids, doing work that we wouldn't think is possible with hand tools. Education just in general. What about military instruction? They were a powerful military force all during this particular time when they were the world leader in a lot of things, if not most things. Do you think Moses got any of that particular education during those first 40 years? What does that scripture that I just read say? He was learned in all things of the Egyptians. 40 years is a long time to go to school, isn't it? I don't know really what time he started, but, and I'll pick on Allison. Allison, you started school when you were how old?
Three.
You went to preschool. You were in kindergarten. You graduated high school, that got 12 formal years of education. You went to college. Did you get an undergraduate degree?
Yep.
Do you have to have an undergraduate degree to go to medical school? Maybe. All right, let's just say that's four more. So there's 16 years of formal education plus a few other where you were the star of the preschool, right? I hadn't got there yet. All right, from undergraduate school, you went to grad school before medical school? All right, so that was another 2 years? All right. We're up to 18. And then how many years of medical school? Four. We're up to 22. Got a specialty coming?
Yeah.
How many years on the specialty?
Six.
Six? What are we up to? 28? I got residency in there somewhere too.
That's residency.
So that's included in the other? All right. Not to really pick on Allison, but Allison, before she's done and ready to actually go out there and see a patient or look at an x-ray or do whatever, is going to be 30 plus. Right?
Years old?
Yes. I said 30 plus.
Okay, fair enough.
But even if you were a child prodigy and finished high school early, about the earliest you can expect to be a physician, in the United States at least, is going to be your early 30s. That's a lot of education, isn't it? Moses had 10 more years than that. He was there for 40 years doing something. I also thought about the royals, the British royals. In my mind, I was comparing Moses to being brought up like that. What would he have had in Pharaoh's house? The best of everything, wouldn't he? All that education would have been not just education, it would have been the best education. With the best teachers. What's something interesting to me, at least, see if you get the same thing, that the British royal family does with all their kids? What do they have to do? They have to serve in the military. And I don't mean they have to just go and sign up, put on the uniform, go to an office for a period of time, and then get out. They're serving in active duty. I don't remember which one's the helicopter pilot, Harry or William. You can probably know better than I do. Both of them were in Afghanistan or in the Middle East. Whichever one's the helicopter pilot basically tried to sneak around to actually get to fly the helicopters in Afghanistan. And the whole time that the British government was trying to find him and get him, don't let him on the front lines, he was doing everything he could to go to the front lines. That's the kind of education that Moses would have had in those first 40 years. What did he do with it? What does the scripture say that he did with it at a certain point? I was in the Acts scripture, wasn't it? Staying in chapter 7, verse 23. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another?" But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?" Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. Skip over to Hebrews chapter 11. Somewhere around verse 24, I think. I'll start with 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. I'm in Hebrews chapter 11, starting verse 23. Because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Well, what else did Moses learn during those first 40 years? Somebody taught him about God, didn't they? You know, the one thing that we don't really know is how long his mom had him and was able to teach him before he went to live with Pharaoh's daughter. But somebody, probably his mom, made sure he knew what being Hebrew was all about. Ruth, do you have a question or a point? Yeah, he knew. He knew who they were. He knew he was not an Egyptian. He knew by birth. He knew he was a Hebrew. He went there. So mom, dad, brothers, sisters, somebody did the right thing, took the responsibility. And while Moses was receiving the best of education, the best of military instruction, the best of everything that Egypt had to offer, he was also getting grounded in exactly what his roots were. And when he was 40, he decided to turn his back on all that because it was temporal and not eternal. We don't think much about Moses' first 40, but look what he had and what he chose to go with. Would we be so inclined to feel that way? Would we want to put all of that behind us? Do you think he wanted for anything during those first 40 years? Do you think it was made available to him whatever it was that he needed or wanted? He probably had to ask, and he had four people jumping to serve him. That's the first 40. What about the next 40? Where'd he go? He was in Midian. He was in Egypt for the first 40. His people were slaves. And he was in an Egyptian household. Now he's in Midian. He doesn't have any people. If the first 40 years was education, what's the second 40 years? How about isolation? And then all the way back, I was trying to come up with T-I-O-N, and I mean all the way back, because I went to see the grandkids in Arkansas. And I had all these thoughts in my head, and Debbie was transcribing while we were in the car. And I said, "Debbie, we've got to have T-I-O-N words. You know, this thing's got to match. Education, second 40, isolation, and self-evaluation." Do you ever have time where you just need to go be by yourself and figure things out? Sometimes. What happened when Moses was 40 and he struck down the Egyptian? He thought he was going to be a hero to his people, right? He found out differently. He was no hero. As a matter of fact, they didn't trust him. And then he found out Pharaoh was looking for him to kill him. So he said, you know, I got to get out of here. I got to go somewhere. What did he do for that next 40 years of his life? He was a shepherd. He went to Midian, did a favor for a girl trying to draw some water, ended up getting a wife out of the deal, had some kids, went out every morning, lunch bucket, sheep. Do you think there's a lot going on out there? Do you have some time to sit around and think? If you were a shepherd today and you had all that time and you were by yourself, could you solve some of the world's problems? I could. Take my iPad. Maybe I better take my Bible because the battery might not last on my iPad, tending my sheep. But I could think and I could just figure things out and I could figure out who I was and what I wanted to do. And sometimes it takes that, doesn't it? Sometimes you have to step back. Is there anything wrong with stepping back? Taking a little time trying to figure out, where is it that God wants me? For 40 years, he did that. And then what happened? What happened at the end of that 40 years he was in the wilderness with the sheep? Not the Jewish sheep, the four-legged sheep. What? I heard it. Somebody said it. God came to him and he had the burning bush. Did Moses want to do what God warned him to do? Now, go back 40. Did Moses want to do then what he thought God... He was looking for it then. Now, 40 years later, he's not so sure. Well, God, what am I going to do? The last time I was there, they didn't like me very much. They weren't going to let me lead them 40 years ago. Moses is going to be different now. First of all, the people that were trying to kill you, they're not trying to kill you anymore. Secondly, you're the guy. Those of you that know me know I'm probably as sports fanatic as most people, or as anybody. So everything somewhere in a lesson I do comes back to a sports analogy. But how many times have you seen a football team that lose, coach, lose, and suddenly the coach gets in the right place at the right time, bang, Super Bowl, World Series, championship, whatever the case might be. Right place, right time, it means something, doesn't it? Wrong place, wrong time, 40 years earlier. Right place, right time, now. Right time, right place, right guy. And how old is he? He's 80 years old. I lost track of it real quick. Will you trust me when it says, when I tell you that I know I read it when I was getting ready for class, that Moses was 80 when he stood in Pharaoh's court? How old was Aaron, remember?
83.
Yep. 3 years older than Moses. There they were, 80 and 83, going in to stand before Pharaoh. Why do you think Moses, what did Moses know that's going to allow him to do this job? Go back to that first 40 years of education. Who did Moses know? Pardon? He knew God. Who else did Moses know? Well, what else did Moses know? The way of the Egyptians, did he not? If there was ever a right person for that particular job, would it not have been Moses? He was a Jew who was brought up as an Egyptian. He had inside information on everything that was happening. He knew how the Pharaoh system worked. He knew how the Egyptians thought, but yet he was a Hebrew. He should be able to go in there and talk to Pharaoh and get a few things done. Did it work exactly that way? Pay close attention to the trip out of Egypt when you're reading the story of the Exodus. Because which was the short way as they were leaving Egypt and which was the long way? Short way wasn't to go straight towards the Red Sea or the most efficient route. God didn't take them the other direction. Scripture's clear as to why. He didn't want them to go away from the sea because it would have been an easier path. There wouldn't have been a big body of water in their way. But he was afraid that they would run into resistance, and when they ran into resistance, they would turn and go back to Egypt. So he took them in the direction of the water, and what was he going to get to do by taking them that way? He was going to get to show them the greatness of God. He was going to get to open up that water and have them walk through. He was going to get to trap the Egyptians in that water. Who else needed a period of preparation? That's my third 40. I got education, isolation, preparation. No flies on my lesson plan. I got it, all those T-I-O-N words. Moses, in his period of isolation, prepared himself to lead. But now it was going to take preparation on the part of the people to follow. And in that 40-year period, how many different things happened? What had to happen? What, list off some of the things that you can think of quickly that had to be in place before the Israelites were ready to cross the Jordan and take the land of Canaan by force. What did they not have when they left Egypt? Did they have any laws that came after they left, right? Do what? I couldn't hear you. They didn't have a place of worship. They had to put that together. They didn't have a social hierarchy, I guess, for lack of a better term. They didn't have a way of dispensing those laws. What did Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, recommend to him? Moses, you're going to kill yourself trying to do it by yourself. Break this thing down. Get judges who can judge over tens and then those who can judge over other tens and so on and so forth. They had to have a way of getting all this stuff put together. They had to build the tabernacle. I mean, they had to take the raw materials and actually build it. And then all of this took a period of time. And what was God doing during this period of time? How was He showing them what they were going to have to do? How did He take care of them? They got their meals.
He fed them food from heaven.
They got manna and they had quail. Sometimes they got water out of a rock. Sometimes that whole water and staff and rock thing got them in trouble, as it did with Moses on the second occasion. Were they ready to go march directly into the land of Canaan when they left Egypt? It took a leader. It took a man who knew what it was to understand that God was in charge to take him through that next 40 years. And the real beauty of God's plan, or at least to me, one of the beauties of it, is that God gave them opportunities throughout this 40-year period to cut that 40 years short. And they proved to themselves they weren't ready for it. You've heard people say, well, just give them enough rope so that they can hang themselves with it. And that's exactly what the Israelites did. What was going to happen? What do you think would have happened? Actually, what do you know would have happened if the spies had gone out and come back with a favorable report? What's to stop them right then from going into the land of Canaan? There is nothing, right? Because what was the penalty or the consequence for lacking faith? 1 year of wandering for every day that they were on recon. All they had to do was come out and say, "We got it. We can take this. We can do it. The Super Bowl is ours. There is no stopping us." And they didn't do it. Joshua and Caleb were the only two out of the 12 that did. And God says, "Okay, you're not ready yet. So I'm going to put you back in there for another 40. As a matter of fact, when Moses was up on the mountain getting the tablets, what were the people doing? They couldn't even wait 40 days while Moses was up on the mountain.
They were making an idol.
Mm-hmm. What did you remember a little mutiny or a revolt that Moses had during this period of time too? Who turned on him? His brother and sister. Aaron and Miriam. Turned on Moses. Tried to take power away from him. But Moses was the right person, the right place, and now the right time as he went into this third period of his life. Do you feel like those of us who are out of the first 40 and into the second 40 that you're looking to slow down in life? Those of you that are in the last 40, have you already slowed down? But when it comes to God's work, Ray says he has. When it comes to God's work, is there always something to do? Physically, we may not be able to do what we could do 40 years previous. If you're here and you're over 80 and you were putting labels on the heart-to-heart, raise your hand. See, some people don't want to say they were over 80. I know what that's all about. But there are other things that can be done. And then there is just the idea of being an example. And I don't mean to embarrass Ray, but Ray doesn't move real fast. But when Ray comes in the building, I look at Ray and say, "That man's dedicated." Because I know he doesn't feel good, and I know he doesn't move as fast as he used to move, but he's here, and he's setting an example for me. Isn't all of that working for the Lord? So you were you were over 80 and you were here doing that. See, Ray admits it.
I wasn't here to build it because...
Oh, somebody took them to you?
Pardon me?
Did somebody take some to you?
No, I took some home with me every time we were doing them before.
Okay. Turn to Deuteronomy 34. Actually, turn to 31. Because I think this is pretty... This sums up Moses to me, to kind of tie all this back together. Deuteronomy 31:2. And he said to them, "I am 120 years old today. I can no more go out and come in. Also Jehovah has said to me, 'You shall not go over this Jordan.'" Do you remember why it was that Moses couldn't go? Yep, it was that water and rock business. Got him in trouble. And I think it's important to understand that as Moses got in trouble, and for that matter, the Israelites got in trouble during this whole 40-year period, God constantly forgave them because he's going to give them the promised land, but there were still consequences to the actions that they took. For Moses, what's the consequence? He cannot physically go across the Jordan. He will not go into the promised land himself. God is going to grant him a little time up on the mountain to see it, but he's not going to be able to go in it. And although I didn't list this as a major topic of the lesson or a point of the lesson, this is an important point Because we seem to get the idea sometimes that forgiveness means I don't have to have any consequences for what it was that I did wrong. I'm going to forgive you if you wronged me. That doesn't mean that there's not a consequence for that. David had an affair with Bathsheba. There was a child born. God took the child. David is called a man after God's own heart. But there were still consequences for what he did. And on top of having the child with Bathsheba, he had Uriah killed. Yet he was forgiven. But that doesn't mean he didn't have to pay a price. Deuteronomy 34:7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor had he lost any of his natural strength. One of the versions that I have that I liked said his eyes were not dim and he was full of vigor. Wouldn't you like to be full of vigor, I guess, at 120? I thought about that before. If somebody walked up and said, Richard, I can give you 120. It's yours. I'm not sure I want it. The older I get, the more I'm looking forward to heaven, and I don't know that I want to be here for another 60. But Moses was still working, still leading, still ready. It was time for the Israelites to go in, so it had to be time for Moses to cash in the retirement plan. Not the earthly retirement plan, the eternal retirement plan. And after this, God took him. 120 years old. Three sets of 40. Education, isolation and self-evaluation, and then preparation to enter the promised land. Comments or questions? Or do you just want out 2 minutes early? Thank you.